raise your hand if you visited a doctor the last year or so. And how would you rate your doctor? Are they personable? Do they have good bedside manner? Do they use technology in their office? Does this help or hurt your personal medical care by their technology? Answer all these questions in your head and go back and go, how can a doctor improve their care with me so they listen and understand my health conditions? This workshop discusses all these issues with technology, how it can help or hurt your personal medical care, and also how it can improve. Go right to the show notes if you want to jump to different highlights. If not, listen to the show, and I will see you afterwards.
We good?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You may have a lot of editing to do, but...
Yeah, I will. So that's... My thing is, even though technology improves, which is good, right? We have lights, and we have computers, and we have all that stuff. How do you want to work? How do you as a patient want to communicate to get yourself and stay healthy? Okay? With Google, with the websites, with books even too, there's so much information out there of what you're... I saw someone come in this week, and they had a bump on their shoulder. They came in and they said, well, doc, I'm scared because I think this bump might be a tumor. I go, well, when did you get it? About 2 days ago. Is it sore? Yes. Did you fall in that area? Yes. So, but he researched the internet and went, well, it could be a tumor, it could be cancer, could be a bad infection, could be this. Relative just a normal bump because you fell on your shoulder. So I said, does it hurt when you move this? Yes. You have a bruise or two? Yes. You bruise your shoulder. That's all it is. So sometimes there's too much information that can scare you because then your mind starts thinking, okay, do I have that bad problem? Do I have cancer? My job is to go, okay, take the information. Yes, there's so much information out there, but talk to someone, communicate with someone who knows what they're talking about. Okay, walk me through the process, why it's this or why it's that. Trust the people you work with, but build that trust first on how you want to communicate. Again, technology is great. There's stuff out there that I watched a video this morning. You can take a pill, swallow a pill that goes through your body to test for cancer in your intestines, test for diabetes, such things that I had no idea how that worked. But again, do you need that? Maybe. But can you work with what you want to work with to make sure you communicate what you need from your doctors? Doctors sometimes now are taking an iPad, you walk in the door, and they're at their iPad the whole time, putting information as they're talking to you, but not doing this, not looking you in the eye. Okay? I want to be the doctor that is personable, looks in the eye and go, hey, how are you doing today? What's going on? Not, okay, your name is this, I got that. Your birth date's this date, good, I got that. Your problem is, this nurse says it's here, I got that. So we want to make sure we communicate how you want to communicate. Back to it is, I mean, to be a doctor where they do this the whole time as they're talking to you, that may be great for them, to the office manager, the insurance company, but how about you, the patient?
Makes you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable, because then you feel like you've lost that bedside manner the doctors were before, especially at our age, you know, you want that. I've had a few doctors where you just like don't want to go back because they don't interact with you as a person.
And the bedside manner is not what the insurance pays for.
Right.
Is not what the numbers come back to the doctor that the office is doing well.
Right.
So why should the doctor care about that? Because that's part of caring for a patient.
Right.
A lot of my talks are, can you care in healthcare? It's not about the computer. It's not about the numbers. It's not about seeing so many people. Can you communicate with them and give them that bedside manner so they trust you as a doctor? Can you build that trust? And some people, and I have kids that come in, kids in their early 20s or teens, and they're like this the whole time. I'm like, okay, that's not how I would communicate, but that's the way the patient wants to communicate. I'm good at that. Can we, as a doctor, can you adapt to your patient, what they need, and give them that time that they want so it's efficient with them? Without that, then you're gonna see, you're so worried about, as a doctor, worried about numbers, then you lose that patient care. And then, the worst thing could happen, then you hurt somebody. You misdiagnose the problem. you give them the wrong diagnosis, or you send them the wrong place, then you hurt someone, and then you have major problems. But by having a bedside manner, I talked to a buddy of mine, he used to work with orthopedic surgeons for knees. And he said he worked with doctors, and surgeons are, on average, horrible bedside manner. They're surgeons. They do great surgeries on the knee, for example, or hip, but their bedside manner is minimal. And if they had a problem with that knee or hip surgery, they'll get sued. But the doctor, the surgeon, that actually was an okay surgeon, but had good bedside manner, he never got sued. Because they trusted him, hey, the doctor tried his best. Or he'll fix it, he'll find a way to fix it. He would leave the room and go, do you have any more questions for me? If anything you need, here's my number, my home number, call me if you need anything, I'll make sure I take care of you. So even though he had minimal competent skills being a surgeon, his ability to touch the patient in a personal way gave them that trust back. And when doctors lose that, even though it's about technology, they lose that, at that point you lose the ability for a person to come back to you for more help, or even telling you everything they have going on to give them the best diagnosis. So without that trust, that communication can't happen. So finding a doctor a way to communicate the way you want to communicate is the best way to go. And doctors, when I do my talks again, when they go to school and talk to doctors, they're talking about this technology, this technology, this technology. The problem is, the person's over here. How do you communicate that every time? I keep repeating myself. Because when doctors talk, I listened to some seminars this morning on YouTube, it's doctor to doctor talk. But can they change that to doctor to patient talk? And when they can't do that, that's when you lose them. Doctor gets frustrated, patient gets frustrated, people get the wrong diagnosis, staff gets frustrated because now the patients are upset. It trickles down to everybody. So with technology, it can help you, but you have to make sure it only works with the patient that wants to work with. Because I have patients all the time. They'll come in, I booked online on your website. Here's my information. Here's my disc or my connection to how to get to my x-rays, my MRI, my previous diagnosis. They give me their whole file online, so there's no paper. And then this is what I think it is. And they'll want a text or an email back later on too. I have no problem with that. Some people like that, great. But if you're not like that, how do you go backwards and go, okay, if someone doesn't want it that way, do I need to write it down for them? Some people I know don't have email, which is fine. I would appreciate it if they didn't have email or social media to make my life a lot easier. Because some people don't, I take paper and a pen, here's the exercise I want you to do. These many times a day. Call me with any questions. When you have that connection and you communicate, they won't communicate, at that point that works. I learn by writing things down. That's how when I was in my 0 to about 21, 22 years old, I wrote everything down. That's how my brain developed to communicate and memorize things or learn things. Kids now, it's an iPad, it's their phone, which is okay, but that's how they learn now. So some kids don't even know how to write their own name or even use cursive at all too. And again, I'm not judging you good or bad, but now that's lost, how do you work with them to make sure you're on the same technology as them too? My office is still paper and pen. At that point, we know exactly what's going on, file to file to file. Some offices are all computer-based. Or I think someone may write something down, it goes right into a computer, their file's right there, boom, boom, boom. The problem with technology, it's always improving. What happens to that last software you have, that last program you had, you have to update that and pay for that again. And again, and again, and again. I pay for pens and pencils. A lot cheaper for me, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and paper, sorry, or my charts. But that's easier for me to do. If someone wants their file, great. I'll copy it, fax it to them, or scan it and email it to them. Easy. When you're so too much technology, like you said, you lose that bedside manner. So over time, that becomes your focus, because now you have technology, right? Once you have an iPad and your files are on an iPad or computer, can that go to paper real easy? Not at all. You lost the ability to go from a computer, file-based in a computer, to paper. You can't go backwards. As that moves forward, and you have to pay for more and more software, more and more programs, then you move further away from that. Then you're, and sometimes, most of the time, now it's so focused on what you want on that diagnosis. So as you're going down to the, can you have back pain, for example? As you're talking to them, they're going down to, okay, how do I diagnose this? How do I send this code to my biller so it's billed properly so the office gets paid for this business? Okay, I'm here. Oh, thanks for coming. See you later. Oh, the next patient.
That's how it works, right?
That's true. Yeah.
You don't need the doctor's name sometime. And some offices run different doctors, and they're like, well, I saw Dr. Mary last time. Who are you? I'm Dr. Ben, and I see your name is this. I see your birth date's this. Good, got that. You have this going on. Good. Okay, it's this. Good. Just take your meds. Bye, 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 and then see you later.
Wow.
Any questions, call the office later. But that's how it works. You know why that is? Like any business, an office has to hit an overhead every month to stay in business. The problem is the doctor's overhead increases as to match their lifestyle. Most doctors aren't going to drive, are not going to drive a used car, are not going to not go on these extravagant vacations sometimes. You're going to have sometimes too much staff to make the office look busy, make their life easier, and have to pay a high overhead of $75, $80, $100, $200,000 a month. Just to beat that, they have to see so many people a month. It's a numbers game. So by doing that, now you've made your staff push more people through. So if you spend 5 minutes with a patient,
that's too long.
You're going, whoa. You gotta get that patient out of there. There's 10 people in the waiting room. And all 20 people had a 10 o'clock appointment.
That's right.
I can't duplicate myself. I'm only one person. How do you make your appointments efficient by booking everyone at the same time, let them wait, the patient, as you go through the patient's left and right?
That's annoying.
It becomes very annoying.
Yes, it does.
I don't understand. If I go to a doctor's office, why is my appointment at 10, and I don't get in to see the doctor till 11,
right?
And I spend 5 minutes with a doctor, so I'm out by 11:10, but I spend 5 minutes with a doctor.
Right.
And that's normal practice. That's a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. That's for me, that's disrespectful to the patient, to another person who comes to serve you and help you. If you're going to help, sorry, I had to change times today. Excuse me.
Put it in here. Move so over to it, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're in. Come on in.
It's too high in here.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you. So that's my gripe is, and my daughter, she's had knee surgery, right? And it's more of a personal story. She had a great surgeon. Okay, he's known everywhere from all the doctors and hospitals, nurses, they love him, right? But you go to his office, it's a minimum an hour wait.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I won't stay. My daughter will stay because she has to stay, sorry. But I'll do my own work in the office or I'll go somewhere else for my work. I just don't, for me, that's a waste of your time. And if I'm here to serve you as a doctor to a patient, I'm here to serve you based on the value, the respect you should get as a patient. Another story, my grandmom had not minor heart attack, but she was fainting one day. So she lives in West LA, or Playa, right? So we went to West LA, went to UCLA Hospital, right? UCLA Med School, the school on site at UCLA. So I figured, hey, top-notch doctors, top-notch residents, everything. It was ridiculous. The nurses were great. Nurses are good. But the doctor come in and his resident go, hi, Mary, I see you have some back pain. And she's sitting there just moaning and groaning like, you think so? Pull your head out of your iPad and how about look at her for once. Nurses are rolling around. They're like, here's another intern. Here's another one. So again, the ability to get through school and pass classes is great. But without the bedside manner Gloria mentioned, are you really a doctor that can help somebody? You know, so my thing again, technology is great, it works from doctor to staff to Austin to insurance company, but to patient at this point, not so much. You have to be able to have the bedside manner. And I don't care if you're, I have patients who's 94, I have patients who are in their teens. I still want to have that one-to-one with them, that eye-to-eye contact, whatever they're doing, I'm going to match their mannerisms, how they talk, how loud they are, how soft their voice is, how fast they talk, to get them to like me. I want to make them, I want to be friendly with them, so they can trust me, at that point, tell me how I can help them. Tell me everything I need so I can help them with their care. Right. Any questions about that? Any comments? You guys have the same experience as me, or just am I the isolated incident?
No.
I mean, when you go see a doctor now, how long do you wait?
An hour, practically 45 minutes to an hour.
When I was in.
And they see you for 3 minutes.
And is that 3 minutes, that's all I need, 3 minutes, doctor, appreciate it. Or is it, hey, I wish I had more time with the doctor? Do you wish you had more time with the doctor, more than 3 minutes, or?
Yes, I came with a problem. I want the problem addressed.
Do they leave, or do they say, this is it, then we're good?
No, they just close their computer and
well,
see you next week, or see you in 2 weeks. And the problem isn't resolved.
And the thing is, that's the problem. So now you can come back again for the same problem, and if you wait long enough, the problem gets worse.
Exactly.
Then you have a worse diagnosis, takes longer treatment, and the doctor is seeing you again, which is whatever for him, but now your ability to get better gets worse and worse and worse. So a misdiagnosis is just as bad as not diagnosing at all. You don't have enough information to make sure that you get the best care possible. That's in medical ethics. Chiropractic medicine, whatever it is too. How do I help the patient and give them the time? I did an interview with a physician assistant, Brianna, in her office. The way they run the office is they spend at least 15 minutes for your first visit, at least, much as you need, and they book on average half the number of patients per day. I know that's because they want to make sure they spend the time with you. But their overhead's a lot lower than our offices.
Yeah.
So having that, to realize the back end, even though it's an excuse, not a reason, is they need to see more people. That's a problem, Eric. So how do you get the better care? Find a different doctor. If you can't. Insurance or insurances, some people can't change your doctors that easy.
I know the doctor I have out here, usually in, and he has used to see the personal assistants,
mm-hmm.
and then see the doctor, and then usually out for a relatively short wait.
Mm-hmm.
But in Downey, he'll wait an hour, but then he'll spend a lot of time with you too.
Yeah. It's finding out, and realize a lot of this stuff too is the doctor's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you work in a hospital, it's efficient because there's administration that runs the staff to get you in and out. I have Kaiser myself. In and out, my wife's in there, she has an appointment, whatever I do, in and out, done. But the administration runs that department in the hospital. Problem sometimes a doctor, he only sees in the back office, he doesn't see the front office, doesn't see the staff, doesn't see the office manager. So that end made things a lot slower. That can be a big problem. So not only finding a good doctor, but a good staff too, allows your visit to go well. And it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Some doctors have no idea what their staff's doing. I know doctors who have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars from their staff stealing money from them. Because they had no idea.
Wow.
No idea. They didn't take care of their own, they took care of the doctor part, the patient part, but not the business side. I know a couple of doctors that are really good in Rancho, but their staff are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my patient that I send there with a big problem, I tell them exactly what to do. And when the staff starts harassing the patient, they walk out. I'm like, I'm not going to put up with this. The problem is for me, not to pat on the shoulder, but I try to give them that better care. So they go somewhere else, like, that's not even close to what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to refer someone, unless I know them personally, and I thought I did, to send them somewhere where we get the same expectation of care for the patient first. That's my concern. And finding a different doctor may not be easy, but a different doctor that gets you in and out and actually helps you, talks and listens to you, will give you a faster diagnosis that you need to get the faster treatment that you can get better. Does that kind of make sense, Mary? That's my thing. And sometimes you have to do your own research, which is painful, you shouldn't have to, by calling your insurance company going, hey look, and my evaluation of that doctor is a 0 out of 10. How do I find somebody else? And then sometimes that insurance company may not care what you think, because they're paying that doctor a minimal amount to see you. They're making money off of you going to see that doctor, if there's a way to say that. Ethical or not, that's what they do. But finding, okay, who else in my network can I find that I can see that will help me now? And getting a personal referral from Brian too, I have this doctor local that works for me, who takes insurance, use him also. Any business out there, especially a concrete business where you're brick and mortar, they need personal referrals, so do I. By helping your patient as a doctor and helping they want to be helped the way they want to be helped, allows you to see more people on an easier basis. So not for you guys, but for doctors out there, by taking care of your patient, they want to be taken care of. The way they want to be taken care of allows you to make your job easier in the long run.
How many patients do you see in a day?
About 90 on a full day. But and again, people come in, we do the examination, x-rays, we sit down and talk to them. I work with a partner too. I have staff.
How much actual time do you spend with the patient?
When I'm just seeing a patient for just seeing for their problem as a treatment,
exactly.
Maybe 5 minutes. That's all they need. In 5 minutes, I'll walk through exercise with them, find out their current problem, how well they did from last time, what else they can do, and whatever else they need. I don't waste time. Patients know in my office, I don't talk about the news, the weather, or sports. I'm here to talk
not
about
medically.
Exactly. I don't waste time. I talk about what you need in the office that day, what's going on with you, and how I can help you today. And when I don't see you after you leave, how I can help you to make sure you stay healthy throughout the process. Oh, and again, here's my cell phone. If you have any questions, call me directly. My business card has my cell phone on the back.
Yeah, because there's not very many doctors. That's a handful that give you their cell phone. Call me.
I have no problem. The problem is no one wants to call me. Maybe they're upset with me. I don't know. They don't like me. I don't know what it is. Maybe I said them wrong. But by giving myself there, it gives them that comfort level.
Right.
If I can reach the doctor, whatever I need, I reach the doctor. I get upset when patients have to go to the ER because they won't call me. I don't want to bother you, but my pain was pretty bad with the ER. They said take some more medication like they said before, and I spent 3 hours there. I'm like, what are you thinking? Call me. And they came in that next day. Say they went Sunday. They came in on Monday. I saw them for 5 minutes. Like, I feel so much better. And why did I even go yesterday to the ER? People get in the habits, right? When you're in pain, we get a little, in our mind, get a little bit stressed, a little bit desperate sometimes too. So instead, and I tell them that, once you feel that stress in your head because your pain's getting worse, what's going on with your body, call me. Don't do what you normally do. Because you did before you saw me, it wasn't working, it's not going to work again. It's still not going to work. If I get sick, I call my mom. Mom, what do I take? What do I do? She'll go, okay, boil some ginger up. I know that. I just can't think right when I'm sick. But having someone else in the room or someone you can trust that knows you, knows your problem, let them figure it out. If someone comes to my pain and mouth with a lot of pain, I'll tell them, hey, bring a family member in or one of your kids so I can tell them, because right now it's hard for you to think right when you're sick. You're not feeling well when you're a little bit beat up. And so I'll talk to both of them and then okay, remind your mom when she has a problem tonight, make sure she ices again. Remind her at 8 o'clock tonight, make sure she ices down. They go, okay. And I tell them, and then sometimes 50-50, the person in pain can remember. At least they'll remember. If a kid comes in with back pain, same thing. I'll tell their parents, okay, dad, make sure she does this at 4 o'clock today. Okay, dad, make sure she goes to bed, she does her stretches. And because of that, I'm telling the dad, kid's like, I'm going to do my stretch, my dad's getting mad at me. So it works in conjunction with everything going on. I went pitch a couple years ago. I think it was a teenager. I told him some stretches, right? A couple days in a row, because I forgot to do them. Like, oh, you forgot to do them again. No, you're wasting your parents' money by coming in here. He goes, no. I'm like, okay, I'm going to call you tonight at 8 o'clock when you're done your stretches and your icing. So 8 o'clock comes around. I don't want to call. I already told him I'm going to call. He's waiting for my phone call. He's already done his stretches. Why would I call? Right? That's the psychology of it. And over time, see, over time, who does something for a while, it becomes a habit. But it takes time to form a habit. How do I help you as in my technology, my office, my technology, is I take my phone, now I have an iPhone, I think 8, but even my 7 or 6 before too, videotape my interns or myself doing an exercise, I put that on the World Wide Web on YouTube, and send you the video. That's my technology. Do the video I'm going to send you tonight, every night, for the next 20 nights, becomes a habit for you. So my job is not only to see you then for your 3 minutes or so, what can I give you to take home besides pills to get yourself healthier? And start forming habits, as we talked before in these classes here, how to start doing things routinely every day, every day, every day, so you get yourself healthy. And again, my videos are, some people like them, like, nah, I remember as a doc, I'm good. And they are good. But whatever works for you to get healthier, maybe technology, maybe not be technology, so it forms your habits, so you're accountable to yourself. See, even seeing a doctor where you don't feel you're getting the best care, go somewhere else. This is capitalism, this is America, right? The greatest country in the world, whatever, USA, USA. But you have different options too. If you got your system for your insurance that gives you different options, how do you get the better care? How do you get better care? Chiropractic, for the most part, mostly cash patients down. So it's if you have to serve the patient well, not to go down the street and go see somebody else. I do my job to make my patients, every time they come in the door, the best experience ever. So I answer everything, by the time you leave, they're like, this is what I needed. They go in, I'll be back tomorrow, whatever it is. But they go home with something, so they get themselves well too. I'm not here to get you, I'm here to diagnose a problem, maybe treat you, but your job at home is to form those habits so I don't have to see you. So you keep yourself healthy. And hopefully, if you have a problem that requires pills for pain, you get off those pills. I had a guy come in two weeks ago, Robert, he's a good guy, he doesn't mind me talking to him about him. He had spent about a year going through medicine for a back problem, going through his medical doctors, and with that process, his pain was the same in a year. He had an MRI, x-rays done, was giving, I think, mostly alphabet number of pills he had for his back pain. They kept going more and more pills. He's like, and he gained weight, couldn't sleep, had anxiety, lost his balance. And he said, this is it, I'm done, because he said, well, I know you have a problem with balance, give you this pill, and it made him worse. He's like, I'm done. So he came at me for desperation. My thing is, okay, now we're all working with you, how are you doing? Doing my stretch and exercise. He's no longer using a walker either, a week later than he's using a walker. I'm feeling stronger, feeling better. And I said, well, your attitude's better too, you have more confidence in yourself. When you start going down that route where doctors will listen to you and want to give you, in my sense, more pills because that one didn't work, just try this one to save you the guinea pig, that point your health gets worse and worse and worse. That's more important to someone's quality of life than actually their pain. So when you talk about technology, yes, it can give you numbers. It can give you what the numbers should be versus where you are. But what's someone's quality of life? How are they being affected by that? And that's I think, a doctor's job, is finding out, okay, even though they have back pain, how does it affect them at home, at work, with their friends? Can they get out of bed okay? Can you use the restroom on their own? So their quality of life is more important. So again, technology is good, but it's not the end-all, be-all. You can't gain technology and lose bedside manner like Gloria mentioned. You have to have both. Sometimes 3 minutes is okay. That's all they need. When you leave saying, I wish I had more time, the doctor should sense that. The staff should sense that. Hey, can you see her? Can you see Mary one more time? She has a couple more questions for you. They should spend the time. Last Friday, in 3 hours, I saw about 40 people. I had 3 new patients and 2 reports. But everyone was taken care of. Everyone left like, I got what I needed.
You got what you needed. Did they get what they needed?
That's what I'm saying. The patient said, I got what they needed.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I threw people off. The patient left one like, I got what they needed. And some people, if they wait too long, if they don't care to eat it, I won't charge them that day. You know, nope, it's on me. We should have treated you better. You guys know what goodwill is, right? Goodwill?
Sure.
Good, right? People don't know what that is anymore. When you help someone out, when you treat them better than they expected, you give them the goodwill, so that is worth more than gold. Take care of people. Some people need 5 minutes, some people need 10 minutes.
In other words, what you're doing is giving them more confidence to help themselves.
That's exactly it. I can help you by giving you the education and the confidence and the tools and my office's exercises to get yourself well. And it's hard for people to switch that mindset sometimes too. The doctor tells them what to do, I'm like, yeah, that was the problem, that's why you're here. Listen to what you need, not what the doctor tells you to do.
Yeah.
I said, if your health is your health, you're your best health advocate. Not me, because you know your body better than anyone. You've had it since you were born. You tell me what to do.
But then you get some people that you give them, per se, exercises mm-hmm. to do at home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Do they do them? 9 out of 10 don't.
Probably.
Unless they really want to get better.
See, my job initially, though, is to give them value to realize why you have to do them.
Right.
How it's going to help you. This is why you're here. If you don't want to come in here, which is great, how do I not see you? How do you feel better? How do you sleep better? How do you get out of pain? Uh-huh. I tell them, my back feels great. I work out every day, I stretch every day, my back feels phenomenal. How do you get yourself better? By doing these things. If you don't want to, hey, that's up to you. They go, all right. And they get upset, so I'm like, you can get upset if you want, it doesn't matter to me. I just want you to feel better for you, not for me. So I put it back on them. But they're so used to be taken care of and blaming the doctor, and this is reversing it. Blame the doctor because these pills aren't working. Well, what are you doing for yourself? They didn't realize exercise could help them. They realize sometimes doctors tell them, don't exercise. If it hurts, don't do it.
What?
Yeah. If it hurts, don't do it, so take some more pills.
You have to get a little bit of pain to get better because you have to get right.
People have no idea though. People are naive. I say naive because they just don't know that if you move more, the pain will go away. Because their doctor told them, hey, look, if it hurts, you might make yourself worse, don't do it, just take some more pills. If those pills don't work, take these pills. If they don't work, we'll take some other pills. But don't move, though. Stay home, watch Judge Judy, and that's it. But and we're humans, right? We're humans. Our human body requires motion to get healthy. Motion causes circulation for the blood flow, so if you eat decent food with vitamins and minerals in your food, that minerals get broken down in your bloodstream, that blood goes to your muscles of your back, your neck, your shoulder, whatever you have problems with, to make that area heal. But it needs motion for that blood to move in your body. That's why walking, exercising, stretching every day, gets that blood flow moving so your body can heal, repair itself. By human physiology, if you're human physiology, your body is self-regulating, self-healing. It needs right minerals, vitamins to help you heal properly, and motion too. Beyond that, that's all it needs. Yes, sometimes you need medication if you have an infection or bacteria thing going on. Yes, you need chiropractic sometimes to move things around. But it's you keeping yourself healthy makes my job easy. But some people, like you said, Gloria, they don't know that. I'm supposed to take care of my health? Yes. You have physical therapy. Physical therapy does my stretches for me. But what do you do take home? Don't give anything at home, don't have you do anything at all. What a waste of time.
Right.
Because you're in your body 24/7, 7 days a week. So what can you do at home, or at work, or driving, or with your family, whatever you're doing, can do a little bit better, a little bit more, to get your body move more, and get healthier.
I love this.
Good.
More.
Whatever you can do, that's all it is. Whatever you can do, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Can you help out? Are you good?
I could.
Are you going out, Tina?
Yes.
Okay.
Glad to help you out. That's the thing is, whatever you can do, even if it's moving your arms and hands every day to move things around, move your body.
Circulation.
Circulation. Circulation causes blood flow. Blood flow makes things repair. All I do as a chiropractor is move the bones so you have nerve circulation. Nerves can flow better. You have electricity, your body gets it to heal. You have to work. And same thing with food, too. If you eat McDonald's every day, what's going to happen? It's no surprise, right? If you eat good food every day, at that point your body can stay healthy. Then the circulation can work. But it takes everything. And this is, again, 2019. I think 2019, we have enough information out there. We're not naive anymore what we should be doing. But it's doing those things every day. That's all it comes down to. Any questions at all? I'm excited about health. But that's the thing is that cars knows too. When you have the right tools to use, get better, then do them. Mm-hmm. When you do them right away and maintain that, that's what becomes your habit every day.
That's the main thing, maintain it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Every time I get up in the morning, I'm like, first thing I go is go and stretch. My dog gets up and she's excited, I'm like, I need to stretch first. Then we go for a walk. Mm-hmm. If I don't stretch right away, I get busy, and then something else happens. So first thing I do is turn on the coffee maker, stretch, and then get my cup of coffee. All right. Any questions at all? Again, your doctors are there for you, but they're human too. They get stuck in technology like everyone else does. Someone's selling you the next program, how to make their office more efficient, they call it. And making the billing easier too. Problem is, can you maintain that and maintain your bedside manner so everything works smoothly so the patient will trust you, come back and see you, and you'll help the patient along with getting your billing in, along with communicating with your staff the way you should. Or your insurance companies, whatever it is too. Use technology, but realize you'll lose that, you'll lose some personality because of that too. Use both. But as a doctor, be adaptable to your patient. As a patient, get what you want out of it. Be selfish. If you want technology, great. If you don't, great. It's up to you what you want to use. Alright?
And follow up.
Mm-hmm. And the best thing I think you can do is be honest with the doctor and say, hey, look, I didn't get anything out of my appointment today. They're not going to feel bad. You're giving them honest. You're there. You're paying them. Your insurance company is paying them for a service. You didn't get it. Complain. I would complain. I went to a car wash. My car came out dirty. I'm like, this is a waste of time. I tell patients don't get any value from their offices and their medical doctor. Ask for your copay back and see what they say. That'll upset them.
Well, there's one day she walked into her cardiologist and he asked her, do you have any questions? She goes, no. Well, then I don't really have any answers and turned around and walked out. I would have been out of the nurse's station. Where's your administrator?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is some doctors know patients are sometimes very submissive and introverted. So they won't speak up. They'll just walk out. But when your patient realizes you're there asking for a service from a doctor, and you should get that service. If not, please complain. It helps the staff and the doctor know, okay, look, we gotta change our ways.
Helping
yourself and also other patients in the future hopefully get better care or go somewhere else. That's my thing. It's a supply and demand issue. It's a business. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. And let them know that too. And let your insurance company know because they're paying them to be there. Hey, these doctors aren't working. Because realize as a doctor gets more negative reviews or feedback, their malpractice will go up. Their insurance goes, so it's a higher cost for them to maintain a practice. They want to keep that insurance down. If that's all they're worried about, take care of your patients. You don't get sued when you take care of your patients.
Not only take care of, listen.
It's amazing. And by listening, what do you mean by listening, Ms. Mary?
Hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctor's thinking one thing. I'm feeling something else, and if I don't speak out and let them know how I'm feeling about the problem, they're not going to adjust to it.
And how many times are you talking to a doctor and they cut you off?
Yes, they go to the computer.
Or even just talking to. They'll say something, right?
Yeah.
The doctor interrupts you, I think it's this. I'm not done talking. You cannot listen and talk at the same time.
can a doctor, when I told myself the same thing too, don't say anything, be quiet, wait till they're done talking. And then for me, I repeat some of what's going what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So I understand, so you understand, I understand what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah, you heard it.
Take the time. That takes about 30 seconds. It's not that long. Even the pauses help too. So people have time to think. When someone's in an office for an hour, right? Make sure I'm good on time. When someone's in an hour in an office for an hour, and they've been there waiting and waiting and waiting, and they're rushed into a treatment room, the doctor runs in, does that person remember everything they want to talk to the doctor about? No. Give them time to think. Talk about their day. How's your office visit today so far? How's your morning? Give them time to relax as a doctor so they can get to relax in the room, and then when you relax, you can think better. When you rush in office and you have to wait all along, that one you're, okay, now what do I do? You're gonna miss something. Take the time to pause and give them a breath, the patient. You said listen, and then repeat back what's going on. That's the...
They heard you.
And that is technology. That's our body communicating. I understand what you're saying. Now, here's what I think it might be. But again, patients sometimes talk really fast, they sometimes talk real slow. How do you match that personality and give them time to think before they talk, and then yourself time to think before you talk? So we're on the same page. You're a human, right? I'm a human.
Absolutely.
Just because I have two letters after my name and big student loan doesn't make me any different. It is, you have to be on that same page with every patient. And then once you're done, then go to your iPad and put stuff in. But spend the time here. I'm not even writing notes when I talk to patients. Not because I'm going to forget, but I'll write that later to my head. My thing is, and maybe it's me, if I communicate with you what's going on, I understand what's going on, I listen to you, that's in here. Before I leave that day, I'm going to write notes of what we talked about. Once I leave, I don't know what's going to happen. I'll leave the door. But I have enough time to make sure I understand your case, write things down, so we know what's going on together. So when I see you next time, I remember, hey, how's that heartburn going? How's your sleep going? For me, I don't even take notes anymore when I'm in the room. I'll walk in the door and I haven't seen Mary for, say, 2 weeks ago. I had a trip go to North Carolina. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere in my head.
That's how my doctor is.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have an iPad.
Right.
I cannot see him maybe for a year. Like I just went a week ago. Well, last week. He didn't remember anything about me.
Why do you think your doctor remembers things personal about you, Gloria?
Because he's concerned. He takes care.
And it's so, not...
Plus, I've been with him 10 years. But, I mean, it's a fact that he's a young man. He's in his 40s, maybe his early 50s.
Yes, 40s.
And you know what? Anyone's good about this man? He doesn't drive a brand new car. He has a used car. But, I mean, he takes the time. There's no... That's not like, wow, an iPad? He's only going to talk to you?
He enjoys his work.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's such a good doctor.
And again, you're not going to go to dinner with him.
No.
No.
But he can be friendly without being your friend.
But he makes you feel confident. He knows you. He knows your well-being, what you've gone through, because he remembers you. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't come in with an iPad. And he sits there and talks to you eye to eye. And when he's done, he goes, okay. And he doesn't have these big words, his name is words. He goes, do you have questions?
It's massive.
Sorry, he's amazing.
And that should be, but that he's amazing, right? But shouldn't that be everyone's experience?
Right.
Why has the experience been diluted to where this is normal, where you're waiting an hour, spend 3 minutes with a doctor, and you go, that was worthless.
Wow.
Yeah, so. Anything else? The good side is, there are doctors out there, like lawyers, like Brian, that can help you and really care and trust you. You have to be diligent as a patient going, hey, look, I'm going to go to your office, but I'm going to require this, this, and this. You guys provide this. Now, let me know now so I'm not wasting your time or my time. So if I come in there and I'm getting a good experience, I'm going to let you guys know. And some office is like, well, we don't do that. Great, I'll go somewhere else. So be your own doctor going into doctor's office. What you expect to get
the listening, the understanding, and then the right treatment, so you're not wasting time. All right. Anything else? All right.
Oh, I have one.
Yes.
Do you think the doctors that have the bypass, is that because mine isn't, he's like Kaiser, he's just.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like Kaiser and all the. They're the ones that are more.
They're on one bypass. System. But even some offices think they're high, they're techies. So that iPad communicates to the office manager, or even sometimes the billing manager off-site, what to bill for that day. But the problem is, for them to leave the room, do the iPad stuff, then go to the room, they've wasted 2 minutes. So to be efficient, they do it in front of you, Mary.
Wow, that's
rude. Yeah, that's rude. It's like someone like here talking to you. Yeah, I'm doing great. Yep. Maybe people are, I can't do that because I'm not that smart. Maybe that's me. I'd rather do this. Mary, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Great.
So
why are you here?
So why am I here?
Why are you here? That's the thing. If more people said when they left the office, hey, look, I had a good experience today, or I had a poor experience, or why did the doctor do this? Eventually, the doctor and staff either have to change or close their doors. Sorry. It's a business. Kaiser's Kaiser, San Antonio, San Antonio. The high-end places, the hospitals, because they have so many people, as an excuse, that's why the iPad works for them.
Wow.
But there's enough doctors out there, I think, that you have options to go to find the right ones, or get a personal from Gloria or Brian, where to go. That's just me. Supply and demand. You know, and leave your feedback, too. I would tell people, I'd tell them, hey, ask for your copay back. You did not, you wasted your time today. That doesn't mean.
Wow.
All right.
I had a doctor at the VA that told me how much time she had to spend with me. Mm-hmm. And I had three or four problems because I hadn't talked to her before.
Yeah.
So we got to like two problems that I needed to remember. And she would write everything down and she'd run around to another building to come back with a printout. And then I still had a couple more things that I needed to talk to her about. She says, well, we're out of time. She says, I'll see you next time. She says, about the other problems. So she says, come back and we'll talk about the other problems next time.
It's ridiculous, Carlos.
Yeah.
When a doctor is told he only has so much time with a patient, you can't care for that patient. You can't base your caring of a patient or seeing a patient based on what they need.
Yeah,
you're a number.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming today. Thanks for being a number today for our office. We appreciate that.
I saw 90 patients.
Yeah, I saw my 90 patients today. But that thing is, they have numbers of books, right? Then why would a doctor work for someone like that? Because they think you'd be pushed around. The doctor sometimes has less confidence in themselves, but that's all I can do. Instead of being a doctor they want to be. See, sometimes doctors will adjust their mindset to what's their environment versus what's right for the patient. You have to do what's right for the patient. Without that, you're going against your ethics, and then Carlos comes back, well, I had those two other problems I missed, now they're worse. How should a doctor feel? Pretty bad. They don't, find a different doctor. Again, doctors are human, so sometimes a human, it negatively affects the profession. Person can. It's not all doctors like that, but sometimes the VA may be part of it. Is there a system? It's not a system that's going to work for a patient. It's a broken system. And I have many, many veteran patients, Carlos, that have the same problem. Getting a proper diagnosis, proper treatment, taking days and weeks to get that type of care. It's very painful. Even though as a veteran, you spend your time protecting us and our country and outside our country, it's ironic how poorly you're treated when it comes to once you leave the service. It's very ironic and depressing, to be honest with you. You know? And that's getting in. As more people talk about and give people feedback, government feedback, hopefully something changes. But it hasn't yet. That's why I guess, okay, I'm sick with this. What else can I do? What else can I do? What, keep pushing the envelope. It's not that, I mean, the doctor's fault, yes, for working that system, and you're part of that it trickles down to you be having the poor type of care from the doctor in that system. It's a broke system. Hopefully it changes. Until then, keep pushing, keep pushing. And you're healthy as an ox anyways, so you're fine. All right. Anything else? Mary good?
Nope.
Lori, Brian good? Pros good? 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 Everyone's awake?
Yep.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
See you next month. I get to my funeral.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was amazing.
How'd we do? Good. Video worked? You get it?
Once you listen to the talk, you understand that technology can improve your care, but not for everybody. The doctor is not personal, does not have bedside manner. It only reinforces that when their eyes are on the iPad, not on you. So make sure you go to your doctor and have your own rating list and give them feedback how they can improve their care for you, including the staff. Again, technology doesn't improve the medical care you should receive, but it does allow things over time to improve if they use it properly. As usual, the show notes has highlights of this talk, the link to the Facebook page of this episode, also links to this full video and other podcast videos too. Okay, enjoy the week, enjoy your healthcare, and have a great summer.